chegando no Enem, de início, a minha coluna é quase de desempenho, quase. Quase uma vez que o Enem diz para o senhor que had this morning. We thank you for your word, Father, your Holy Spirit, for your guidance, your leadership. We just praise you, Father. Father, we come with open hearts and receive the Spirit of Sand tonight, Father. And Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that we be enthusiastic in your word, Father. And Father, the ones that don't know you that show up tonight, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that their hearts be open to receive your word. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. God really met us here this morning, didn't he? Spoke to us through his word. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. Amen. God is so faithful. Now, I have some food for thought tonight first, and then we'll get into the word. Food for thought. Amen. The title is The Choices of Faith. A person's life is a string of choices. We can see that truth even in the early pages of the Old Testament. The question for each of us has always been, will I choose foolishly or will I choose well? Abraham did both. From the dazzling cliffs of faith, Abraham chose to obey God, making one of the most pivotal choices in history. He prepared to sacrifice Isaac. But God saw Abraham's faith and gave him a way out of the test. Genesis 22, verses 1 through 14. Turn the pages and you will see the same great man of faith shrink like a coward and lied to save his own neck. Genesis 20, verses 1 through 7. Here too God gave Abraham an exit ramp, but he chose deception instead. Patterns run in families. Abraham's nephew, Lot, felt a strange draw towards Sodom. If ever a place illustrated the slippery slopes of wrong choices, it was this wicked town. Sodom sat on the shore of the Dead Sea, the lowest place on the earth, physically, morally, spiritually. When God warned Lot to get out of town, he gave him a way of escape, but told him, don't look back. Lot didn't, but his wife did, and she became an immediate object lesson. She turned to a pillar of salt, right? That's Genesis 19, verses 15 through 26. The choices you make today could involve private thoughts or public actions. One thing is consistent: along with every temptation, God provides an exit ramp. Look for it, take it, and don't look back. Amen. I mean, God's faithful, isn't he? He's so faithful. Amen. Now, the last time I ministered, I talked about God's loving kindness. God's loving kindness. And let me just see if I can just give maybe a short definition of loving kindness. There's so much to that word, loving kindness. The term chesed is variously translated mercy, loving kindness, grace, and loyalty. It describes the unrelenting, unexplainable, overwhelming grace of God for his covenant people. Loving kindness. Amen. Now, the last time we looked at, we're going to sort of go over some scripture we did last time to just get going about God's covenant people. We're talking about Israel right now. It's covenant people, Israel. All right. Deuteronomy 7, chapter, verse 6 through 9. We're going to look at that first. Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 through 9. Just, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 through 9. Amen. Amen. You are holy people unto the Lord, thy God. The Lord have chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. All right? Above all the people on the face of the earth. All right? Lord didn't set his love upon you. Or he didn't choose you because you're more people in number. All right? You are the least or the fewest of all the people. All right? But because the Lord loved you, amen. He would keep the oath that he swore to his father. He swore oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, didn't he? Amen. The Lord had brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. One more verse, verse 9. Amen. Know therefore that the Lord thy God is God. He faithful God, but keepeth his covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. What a mighty God we serve. That means God is faithful, doesn't it? We can depend on God. How many of y'all know that? We can depend upon him. Whatever God say, he'll do it. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Man make a lot of promises at times and not able to fulfill, but never God. God is good. He have all power, doesn't he? And that's even why we can ask the question right here. What does it say here? Who have a God like our God? Nobody do that. Because it's only one true God. I mean, there are many idols, isn't that right? That there are many idol gods that people are worshiping tonight and they're serving tonight. That Buddha, Krishna, some idol gods that man are still serving. Hallelujah. Remember when Elijah proved who the mighty God was, didn't he? He proved it. God proved it, what, by fire. See, God is a God of action. I mean, when action needs to be taken, need to be come for, God will bring action for, won't he? He'll do it. God is a God of faith for God. And when Elijah prayed, he didn't pray a long prayer. After the false prophets had got up there and demonstrated and cut themselves and cried, oh, Baal, help us. Baal couldn't help him because he couldn't do nothing. He couldn't say nothing because he didn't know nothing. But thank God, our God is faithful. So that's the reason why Elijah could pray a simple prayer. Thank God. And God answered by fire. Hallelujah. Burned up the sacrifice. Licked up all the water. Hallelujah. They put 12 barrels, dug that big old trench, and put what? 12 barrels of water, wasn't it? Soaked the sacrifice, made it soaking wet. Hallelujah. And it had to be a true God. It had to be a mighty God. It had to be a real God that could perform that miracle. And Elijah didn't doubt. He prayed and he believed. Hallelujah. And God came on the scene. God answered that prayer. Amen. And God is still answering prayer, isn't he? He's still answering prayer. God is waiting for you and me to pray. See, we don't pray like we should. How many of y'all know that? We don't pray like we ought. At least I don't. Maybe all y'all do, but I don't. I don't pray like I ought to pray, do you, brother? I'm sorry, brother. And I mean, I don't mean, you know, let me just talk about myself. We can talk about ourselves, okay? I don't pray like I ought to pray. I want to pray more. And I usually pray every day, but not like I really should. I know that. We want revival, don't we? And you're talking about a powerful message this morning, and God spoke through our pastor. God really want a revival, so he want to give us revival. But it's left up to you and me. We holding a revival back by not being what God... God want us to come in a place in him where he will command the blessing. Don't he? And he want to do that. But it's left up to you and me to get up off the stool and do nothing sometime. But God see what we... I mean, sometimes we don't pray like we should. We don't read the scripture like we should. But anyway, God is faithful. And God is merciful. And God is calling us. Amen? To come to him. To follow him closely, not at a distance. Hallelujah. Some people can barely see the Lord. They follow him so far in the distance. That's not what God wanted. But the Apostle Paul, what did he say? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, being made conformable unto his death. I want to know him intimately, closely. I want to walk close to him. Thank God. And Paul did walk close to him, didn't he? Because when Paul got over there in Caesar's household, some people got saved, didn't it? He said, greet those and tell them the ones in Caesar's household because they got saved. Some of them got saved. Philippian jailer. That household got saved, didn't it? Because a man wasn't ashamed. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it's the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believes, unto the Jew first, and also to the Greek. It came to the Jew first, didn't it? Jesus came unto his own, the Jewish people, and his own received him not. They rejected him. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. They knew the law, didn't they? But thank God, to know and do is two different things, isn't it? They didn't keep the law. They knew it, but they added a lot of their own with it. A lot of junk they added in there. Hallelujah. And that's been why Jesus said, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you're not going to make it in. You got to do more than just talk. And they believe in washing pots and washing hands and just a lot of, what? A lot of, what do you call it? Outside show. Ritual. A lot of rituals. That's what they did. Hallelujah. But Jesus. See, Jesus, the reason why Jesus was so hard on them because he loved them. He wanted them to get saved, didn't he? He loved them. And he wanted them to get saved. That's the reason why when Nicodemus came to him, he came by night. He was a ruler of the Jews. And he came to Jesus by night. Well, I think on the daytime. Well, probably because... Probably because he didn't want his parents to see him going there. Isn't that right? That's what I'm thinking. But anyway, he went by night and he said, Rabbi, Master, Teacher, we know that thou art a teacher. Come from God, that no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. We see what you're doing around here. I mean, we'd have to be blind not to see these miracles. You're working, you're opening the eyes of the blind, you're unstopping the deaf ears, you're calling the lame to walk. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. What did Jesus say to him? Verily, verily, I say to you, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now Nicodemus was a ruler, and he didn't know a thing about this. He was lost. Amen. He was corner-minded. He knew about natural things, but when it came to the spiritual side, he was ignorant. Except a man be born, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can this be? Can a man be born? Can he enter? Hallelujah. Amen. Can a man enter the second time to his mother's womb and be born? And no, I'm an old man. Can I disintegrate and go back into my mother's womb and be born? Can't do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Isn't that right? We got to be born of the water and spirit. We got to be born from above. We got to have that new birth. Hallelujah. That spiritual birth, the power of God Like on the day of Pentecost, they received that, didn't they? They received that power from Jesus said, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And they went on back, didn't it? In the upper room. About 120. And they were praying and praising God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible said when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. You know, Jesus told Nicodemus, say, the ones that are born of the Spirit, he told them it's about like the wind. So, you can see the effects of the wind, and you can hear the sound of it sometimes, can't you? And I tell you one thing, wind can do a lot of devastation, can't it? Tornadoes and hurricanes, they can do a lot of devastation. But then you can just sit sometime and just feel like just a little breeze. Isn't that right? But you know it's the wind. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. The wind blows wherever it is, and you hear the sound, but you can't tell once it's coming or whether it goes. So is everyone that's born in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. So they were born by the Spirit of God. They received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. They received power. So you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And they did, didn't they? They did. Hallelujah. But I tell you one thing, they got a little lazy a while sitting around in Jerusalem, and God had to let persecution come. God know how to get us up off the stool to do nothing, doesn't he? Better believe it. He know how to get us up going. They were sitting around there, but God let persecution come, and they began to go out and preach the word of God and witness for the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God. And God is that same God. I thank the Lord tonight that he loved me enough to save my soul. Amen? We ought to be thankful. Because hallelujah. And after he saved our souls, he give us a desire to see others saved. Isn't that right? We just don't want to go to heaven and not nope, somebody go with us. We want somebody to take somebody with us, don't we? You better believe we do. Heaven is so pure and holy and righteous and just and good. Hallelujah. I heard somebody say, we don't talk about heaven enough, and we don't. A lot of times we don't. But that's our home. We ought to talk about a home, don't we? A place that we, hallelujah, this is not our home. We're just passing through. Isn't that right? Thank God our home is on the other side. Isn't that right? When breath passed out of our body, thank God, tell my Christians now, we'll be with the Lord. Isn't that right? We'll be with him. Thank God. Happiness, peace, and joy forevermore. Glory. Boy. Whew. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Now, I felt that if somebody won't give them dance. If you want to, thank God. Jump up and do something. Hallelujah. If you want to, praise God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord over my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. And I thank God. I thank God. Hallelujah. For church. Thank God. Well, we can come in here and be fed the true word of God. Isn't that right? Because there's so much phoniness today. Isn't that right? Glory be to God. I thank God for you all. Amen. God's true people that love him. Amen. We love God out of a pure heart, don't we? We love him because he first loved us. Hallelujah. Talking about God's loving kindness tonight. He showed it to Israel, didn't he? He showed it to us. Now, but I want you to look at, let's look at a verse here where Jesus talked about this. Matthew, Gospel of Matthew. Praise God. Matthew chapter 23. Glory be to God. Verse 37. Let's look at it here. Matthew chapter 23, listen to what Jesus said here. Matthew chapter 23, begin at verse 37. Let's see what it says here. Thank God. See, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the colt, the foal of an ass. He rode into Jerusalem. And listen, my. Listen to what he said. All right, what did he say? Read it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you would not. I read verse 38. House left unto you desolate. I want to bring this out here. Jesus, knowing that the people and their leaders expected a political Messiah, and he know they will ultimately reject him as God's promised Messiah. Listen, saints. He weeps in pity for the people who will soon suffer terrible judgment. Hallelujah. Listen, the word weep in Greek means more than shedding tears. It suggests a lamentation, a wailing, a heaving of the bosom, the sob and the cry of a soul in agony. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus actually, he wept. Praise God. He wept because he reached out. He came unto his own. He came to his people, and they shoved him aside, pushed him aside. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. And it hurt him to his heart. It grieved him. And he wept over the city. He wept for the people. Thank God. Hallelujah. He wept. Glory be to God. And saints of God, he's still calling. Isn't that right? And a lot of the Jewish people still don't believe him. I witnessed to a Jew some years ago. He's, about 90-some years old. He didn't believe in Jesus. But I did tell him about him. You know, all we can do is tell him. Isn't that right? I mean, we can tell people, but we can't make people get saved. One planet, another water. But it's God that gives the increase. Isn't that right? Plant that seed. Thank God. Plant the seed. When God gives you opportunity to plant a seed, plant the seed. Isn't that right? Tell the people the truth in love. Hallelujah. You do it in love. My God. Let me say this. We went to a funeral recently for the minister had an opportunity to really help some people. But you gotta have love. Isn't that right? In order to please God, in order to win souls. But this man didn't. He got up there and he preached. It was some people there that's not Christians. All right, they're living a lifestyle that's not a Christian. And he got up there and sent them to hell. Put them into hell. And that's something. Instead of loving those people, now this man that did this preaching, he was the father of the grandmother, right? Father of this lady's grandmother. He was the father. What was he now? How was he? He was the son-in-law. But his daughter is the one that he just condemned. He condemned her. Like you lost. You're going to hell. See, instead of loving her, he said, look, my daughter, I love you. And I want to do everything I can to help you. Isn't that right? To get to God. In other words, I want to comfort your heart now because I know you're grieving. And this young lady went out and just wept. So pray. Isn't that something? Pray. To win souls is wise. And you got to have love in your heart. To when you don't get up and condemn people, my God, to hell. I mean, you tell them the truth. The truth is what set people free. Isn't that right? But do it in love. You don't throw rocks in the pond and try to catch fish. If you see fish swimming all around and you're throwing rocks in the pond, you think you're going to get anything? No. I don't think so. You got to love. Amen. You got to love. So pray. Pray that God would enlighten the minister. You know, see, you see how Pastor Venom preached funerals? He preached it in love, don't he? He preached the truth, but he do it in love. And you got to do it. Jesus did it in love, didn't he? The woman in adultery, he did it in love. The woman of Samaria, my, had five husbands. And was living with the husband. Did he condemn her to hell? No way. He loved her. Thank God. And she got saved. She got so saved, thank God. She went back to the city. Say, is not this the Christ? Is not this the Christ? And people came out to hear Jesus. See, Jesus went through Samaria. He did, hallelujah. So he must needs go through Samaria. And it was to get this woman saved. Hallelujah. And he got her saved. And she went and did some preaching. And she was a preacher. She preached it. She witnessed. In other words, she got the test. A lot of folks coming back to hear Jesus. And they told her, and they said, first we we heard you, but now we believe because we've seen him. We've heard him. And see, Jesus, a loving Savior. They said, never a man spake like this man. See, on one occasion, he was teaching, and they said, go get him, bring him. And the people went, and they listened to him, and they said, why, what's wrong? Why haven't you brought him? They said, never a man spake like this man. And that's how they, hallelujah. They knew that it was something different about it. Amen, that right? I mean, a lot of them didn't know him, but they knew he had God, the power of God in him. Hallelujah. Just like Saul of Tarsus, God and the Lord knocked him down on the road to Damascus. He was going there to try to upset the church and putting people in prison. And when Stephen was stoned to death, Saul held the cloaks of them that stoned him, didn't he? He never got over that, no doubt. And Paul loved God, and you know what he said? He felt like he was the least among the saints. He said, because I persecuted the church. But listen, he did that ignorantly in unbelief. Isn't that right? So therefore, when God saved him, hallelujah, he charged him, didn't he? And Paul took the charge. Paul didn't back up. He went forward to do the will of God, didn't he? When he first got saved, they had to let him down in a basket over a wall. Hallelujah. Thank God. And Paul had to maybe run a little bit. That's all right. But he got out of town. Do what you got to do to serve God. Do what you got to do to please God. Do what you got to do to get souls saved. And the main thing is live holy and pure. Isn't that right? Let people see Jesus in you. He's faithful. It is, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How oft would I have, read that verse. How often would I have, what did he say here? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, talking to his people. Uh-huh. Yes. You're the one that killed the prophet and stoned. You stoned the ones that were sent to you, all right? Stop. How often I want to gather your children together. Mm-hmm. As a hen gathereth her chicks. Thank God. And don't a hen gather her chicks? You better believe, especially when danger's around. She gets to clucking. How you clucking? Can somebody cluck like a chicken? Can you cluck like? Hallelujah. but the little bitties come running, don't they? You better believe they do. She hold those wings out, and they get under that, thank God, for safety. Thank God. That's what Jesus said. I wanted to gather you together. I wanted you to come to me and get right with God. See, Jesus came to do the will of his Father, didn't he? He came to seek and to save the lost. And he saved all that would come. He didn't turn nobody away that came to him, did he? Thank God. So, saints of God, I really thank God for their service this morning. I really do. God, he really wanted to do something for us here. But let's don't hold back. Let's just Don't hold back saying, let's pray daily. Let's get in the Word of God daily. Thank God. Pray for the services. You pray for a great move of God, like Pastor Miller was talking about. Let's pray for that move. Hallelujah. And do everything we can. And when we come in church Sunday morning, let's be ready to serve God. Isn't that right? Let's be ready. Thank God. Let's be ready to get the will of God done, to see God move. Hallelujah. Souls saved. People filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And the will of God done. God, and God will be pleased, won't he? He'll be pleased. He's faithful. He's faithful. Thank you, Lord. God is so good, isn't he?